Did you know that the 4th of July is on a Thursday this year? That's going to be a full weekend of fun out on the deck, 4 days. But if your deck isn't what it used to be and you aren't using it for great family gatherings, you need to call my friends at All Weather Decks. All Weather Decks is a 24-time winner of the Angie Super Service Award. And they probably help one of your neighbors. Click on the map link at allweatherdecks.net. Call All Weather Decks today at 913-206-1974 or go to allweatherdecks.net and mention you heard it on 810. Call now and relax.
You are listening live to the program brought to you by Worth Harley Davidson. The 2022 models are arriving daily. So what are you waiting for? Get on over to Worth Harley Davidson today. I-29 just south of the airport, or go online and check them out at WorthHarleyDavidson.com. Why the hell not? You're worth it.
Line, base hit, center field. Junior scores, Prado scores. And Nicky Lopez gets the Royals a 3-0 lead in the seventh inning. Now Melendez lines it to right, and Vaughn stayed back on it for a long hop, and the Royals are going to get another run. Shallow right field, Vaughn is coming in, it will drop, and the Royals will get another run. With two outs and nobody on, the Royals get two singles and a walk, and they lead by three.
And now, ready for the weekend, Soren Petro.
Right you are, Kay. Right you are. Petro on the program on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Todd Lebo, do you know what today is? Today is the day after. It's August 12th. We had a bash last night, and everybody's feeling it a little bit, I think, in some way, shape, or form. Great event last night down at the Midland. If you were there, thank you for coming. We had a ton of fun. It was great to see everybody. Great to have so many luminaries from the world of sports there. And Curtis, you know, being the voice of God, I believe it's called. You did a great job.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you to all the folks. I don't want to start naming names because I'll miss somebody and I'll forget. But everybody here at 810, except like me, did a great job. A lot of hard work that went into it. Steven and Nate were great. Like I said, I'm not going to name names.
We can name those two.
Yeah,
because they were terrific and really involved in the putting it together. And I thought it was really cool at the end when they got the award from Tom Watson. Neither one of them was expecting it, and you could tell it really hit both of them hard. So that was a cool moment.
Yeah, it was, and certainly richly deserved. Great to see Coach Pinkle there. Coach Pinkle didn't know he was getting the Lifetime Achievement Award, and Coach Self, just a lot of folks, and so we're not going to try to go through it all, but a great time was had by all of us, and I think by everybody in attendance, so thank you very much for coming out, for being a part of it, and if you couldn't make it, I'm sorry, but it was a great event. We raised some money for charity. The Nigro Brothers are always great. Love those guys. Do a fantastic job, so charitable, so giving of their time. And they're fantastic. It was great to have them. Our buddy John Bucati's painting of Patrick Mahomes was fantastic. And what did it go for, 14 grand or something?
Yep.
I mean, $14,000.
It's funny. They had the joke that was, if it got to 10, they'd get Mahomes to autograph it. And if it got to 20, they'd have him autograph it twice, is what he said. Which was good. And I told Brad Peterson to hear that, and of course he got that joke. That was pretty good.
And we are off and running on a Friday. Busy Friday. We're going to talk about where Curtis is here in just one moment, as Curtis, the K-Dog, is on the road, one of his favorite spots, one of my favorite spots as well. We're going to talk Royals baseball here shortly with David Leske, Danny Unleashed in the 3. 2-minute drill coming up at 4. Adam Teicher talking Chiefs football in the 5. As we're on the eve of the first preseason game, festivities will be had all over the city as the Chiefs are back in action starting on Saturday. And the Dodgers come to town for a 3-game set. Red Hot Dodgers, 10 in a row. Royals have won 6 out of 8, taking 2 4-game series back-to-back against good teams. Not Dodger-like teams, but good teams. So Royals playing arguably their best baseball, going up against what is, I think, definitively the best team in baseball right now and probably at the end of the season. They'll be the favorite to win the World Series, I believe, when it happens. That's your weekend of sports that's going on. We're going to talk about it all. And that's not it. There's even more going on, Curtis. What else is going on?
Well, I'm up in the Northland. You mentioned one of my favorite places. It's certainly one of my favorite events. The great folks at ADA, we talked to them. Of course, we have the big event, the big blowout up there at their place up north by Park Hill in December. But they also do this amazing thing in August. It's their autograph show. It is the largest autograph show of the year in this city, and it kicks off today at Harris North Kansas City Casino and Convention Center. We're in the Convention Center Hotel part, but it's very close to the little circle drive where the casino is, so very easy to find. Over 100 tables of sports cards and memorabilia you can buy, you can sell, you can trade. You can sell and trade. You can buy and sell. You can buy and trade. You can do all three if you want. Whatever you want to do, it's all right here. Of course, JSA is here to authenticate the items. That's the leading authenticator in the country. And some stars this weekend. Tomorrow, how about MJ Melendez? He's going to hit another home run here just because he's been doing it all week. How about Final Four MOP Ochai Agbaji will also be here tomorrow. MJ will be here from 10 to 11. Agbaji will be here beginning at noon. Then on Sunday, it's Chiefs Day. Mecole Hardman and Nick Bolton, new Chiefs, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, and Ronald Jones, as well as draft picks Brian Cook and Leo Chenal. You can buy tickets at the door or go to shopmosports.com. Again, KC's largest autograph show of the year kicks off today, runs through Sunday, Harris North Kansas City Casino and Convention Center.
Yeah, it is absolutely a fantastic place for sports collectors. You know who I know who will be there? I guarantee you Brian Haney's there at some point. I have not seen his collection, but it is supposedly top shelf. He is a big sports memorabilia collector. In fact, he helped me get one of my prized possessions. He's a guy in the know. I guarantee you they cannot have this show without Brian Haney being there. So he,
he'll be here tomorrow.
And sure. If you see him, you know, ask him. Brian Haney will be happy to autograph anything. What's amazing, what I love is when I see Brian Haney up in Lawrence and he just starts grabbing, like, Royals hats off kids' heads and he starts signing the brim. Brian Haney, number one in your heart. You know, it's fantastic the way he just works the crowd. Chiefs hat, boom, puts a Brian Haney on it. It's great.
He insisted that he give Bill Self an autograph when he was hired as the voice of the Jayhawks.
That's right.
He said, hey, coach, I know you want it. You don't have to ask, man. I'll sign whatever you want. What do you want me to sign for you?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of athletes and stars will take money to sign. Brian pays to sign. Here's $10 and an autograph. Boom. You're like, nice deal.
That's kind of a shot at Brian. Are you saying he has to pay?
No, he likes to sign so much, he'll just give people money. Here, let me sign that hat for you. Here's $10. He's just an ace.
You know when we talk about other people taking a bit or a joke too far?
Mm-hmm.
It's usually me.
It's almost always me.
It's usually a loge move, Curtis.
That's a loge level move, Curtis.
That was 204. That's 204 humor.
Yeah, that's what that is. 204. You'd be thinking there's a silver bracelet on your wrist, buddy.
That's not silver bracelet humor.
I expected more from a silver bracelet wearer, Curtis. I did. I'm going to be honest with you.
You thought wrong. You expected maybe lower those expectations.
Yeah, probably should. Okay. All right. Listen, great event. It is absolutely fantastic. ADA does a phenomenal job. We love that end of the year. Talk about the holidays, the one time a year that they open up the store. But when they put this event on, they do it right. If you didn't hear Curtis, MJ Melendez and Ochai Agbaji on Saturday, 10 to 11 with MJ, starting at noon. Agbaji will be signing Sunday. Mecole Hardman, Nick Bolton, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Ronald Jones, Brian Cook, Leo Chenal. Get out there. You can find it online at shopmosports.com. Shopmosports.com. Let's talk Mo Sports right now. Huh? See what I did? Okay. Good or no? Gonna know.
I sure did. I don't know where Curtis is now, but I think he's hit the roulette table already.
Yeah, I think that's Curtis, big time roulette player.
Yeah, that's his game.
Likes to cut. You know, flaw in his system. He puts a chip on every number.
Yeah, he doesn't quite get. Yeah, I don't think he fully understands it. But
and I said, "What are you doing, man?" He said, "I'm a winner on every spin."
Yeah.
I'm like, yeah, I mean, not really, but okay. You know, let me know how it works at the end of the day.
And then he keeps saying that I was talking to him. He goes, I've been winning all night out of this slot machine. I go, that's the ATM machine, Curtis.
I'm not smart.
Yeah.
I'm not a smart.
That's not true.
You're not smart if you can't hear us, you're not smart, because then we don't have to.
We don't have to apologize.
Yeah.
I like that thinking. Let's start with a little.
Do you have a friend you call the world's smartest idiot or something along that line?
I have two friends that collectively, they were actually roommates as freshmen. One is the world's smartest moron, and the other is the world's dumbest genius. And they achieve at the same level. And I told them that this would happen when they were two of four people riding in my Honda CRX SI. Two seats, four people in a car in Washington, D.C. This is the time that the idiot explained to me that I was wrong. We weren't driving by the White House, as I correctly said, because the White House has a big dome on it. And that's why I was a moron. And I said, no, that's the Capitol building. He said, it's the same thing. I said, no, it's not. This is the world's smartest moron, right? The world's dumbest genius graduated second in his class from Georgetown Law after being kicked off our freshman dorm for walking out into the co-ed lounge with no pants of any kind on. He Winnie the Pooh'd it. Kicked out. Graduated second in his class from Georgetown Law. Right? I'm sure, and he has done quite well, but been held back by the fact that he is the world's dumbest genius. The world's smartest moron is a professional gambler. And he is, you know, owed hundreds of thousands of dollars right now, but also has hundreds of thousands of dollars buried in the wall of his house. So, you know, I nailed that one more than anyone ever nailed anything ever. A man who didn't know the difference between the White House and the Capitol building is worth a lot more money than I'll ever dream of. Now he's on like marriage number 9, but you know, he's got that going for him. So, you know, see how that works.
Know which one I am.
Yeah. We fall somewhere in between, somewhere on the outside of their their parameters. all right. Let's discuss the Kansas City Royals. Is it getting real now? Like 6-2 in their last 8 against a couple of clubs that were thinking they were going to contend, are playing 500 baseball, a little above, a little below, depending upon when you catch them at times. Is it starting to feel real?
It's starting to feel more real than this type of run often does, if that makes any sense. I mean, there's been some bad Royals teams that have had a little flash here and there toward the end, and it's been pretty obvious just by looking at it for more than 5 minutes. You can say, well, yeah, but they played this team, that team, and this happened and that happened. This feels a little more, I won't say turn the corner legit, but maybe, you know, to turn the corner, you have to slow down from going the wrong way. And I think they're maybe in that process. And they're about to hit the blinker, maybe, if we're going to take this metaphor too far, which is not surprising in my case. But I think the positive signs we've seen the last couple of weeks are much more set in concrete than they are a mirage. A
lot of baseball still to be played here before the definition of what this team was this year will be written. There is still a lot of baseball to be played, and there are still a lot of good teams for them to play. The second half of the schedule is tough, but let's be honest, I think we got to give some credit. I am all for crapping on somebody when they need to be crapped on, but we will celebrate those that need to be celebrated when there's a celebration to be had. And starts obviously with the guys on the field with the gloves on their hand and the bats in their hands. Starts with them playing a crisper brand of baseball, cleaner baseball, and pitching better for sure. The hitting, we love the young hitters, but I will again say this offense is not good enough. Like, this is not a championship offense. It looks like it has the potential to be a championship offense, right? Like when you see the power of Melendez and Pascantino and the plate, awareness of Pascantino. But I want to point something out. I had a conversation probably right around the All-Star break with somebody in the organization, and you know, the subject of the fact that they'd kind of played 500 baseball for 40 games came up, and I said, you know, the schedule, which we had talked about a lot, I said, the schedule's kind of helped you as well. And there was, you know, not you know, impolite or anger or, you know, not out of line, but I could tell that that didn't sit well. When I said, but the schedule hadn't been that good, it's like, and I was told, listen, playing good baseball is what you want to do. And if you play good baseball against bad teams, you're going to play good baseball against good teams. And I filed it away, right? I filed it away that, one, I actually appreciated the fact that that was not received well, right? Again, not like, you son of a, no, just I could tell, and it wasn't my intent, you know. Yeah. It was a discussion about, okay, where is the team? What do you think? How about this? How about that? And I said, you know, and the 500 thing came up, and I was like, you know, but the competition, not the best part. I said, we're really going to find out against the schedule. He said, and I appreciated that like, whoa. Like, no,
it rankled a little bit.
It did. And I felt a little bit bad that I had put it so bluntly. I guess I was like, well, maybe I could have, you know, put that a better way. But I appreciated it. It reminded me of a time like when I've mentioned a couple of times asking Dayton Moore about how the hitters were struggling a couple of years ago, Melendez and Prado and Sully Matias was kind of all in that group. And he cut me off and said, it's been awful. And it's not good enough, and we have to fix it. And they did fix it. And it reminded me of that in a sense that as much as around here, amongst the fans, the conversation very quickly this year became about a referendum on whether or not to stay the course with this front office. Right? That's where the fans were. I'm going to tell you that I have not, and there have been some bumps, the Toronto episode, obviously one of the biggest bumps, and I have not seen, good or bad, right or wrong, and again, there's still a lot of baseball to be played that will ultimately define what this year is for this team. But I haven't seen them waver. Now, in some ways, like if it's like we're not making any trades, I hope at some point they waver from that. I don't think they're bad at making trades. I think they need to make more of them. Right? Because I think they're pretty good at it. I think you have to be good at making trades in this game if you're going to run a small market team. I don't think you can consistently win without being good at making trades, because I don't think you can draft, sign, and develop an entire squad. Right? Like, I think it's a great thing. It's fun to talk about how every Royal, you know, a couple of times here over the last week has been a homegrown Royal. That is a great thing. It will not equal a championship. I can promise you that the next time they're wearing goggles and spraying champagne in the Royals clubhouse, the starting lineup that night will not feature everybody that was homegrown. It won't happen. It can't happen. No team can draft that well. None of them. You don't get enough draft picks to do it. You don't get enough money in Latin America to do it. You've got to take advantage of the teams that are selling. It is a buying and selling industry. Professional sports in America, where losing is rewarded with better draft picks, is a buying and selling business. There is no, we're all going for it. There are always teams that are losing, and they are looking to sell talent. And if you're not buying it, those around you are, and they're getting better than you. You've got to be a buyer at times. And there's no way that you can put your best team on the field without going and bringing in talent from other teams. So that will change. That part is going to have to change. The Royals organization knows that more than anybody. I believe this is going to be a fun offseason. I believe we're going to be going, oh, my God, you know, it's week 9 of the Chiefs season, and we're having a baseball conversation today because they just traded for this, right? I believe we will have at least one of, if not a couple of those press conferences, whether it's signing a free agent or making a notable major trade. I believe we will have those press conferences this offseason. I think the Royals know that that's got to happen. But let's do celebrate. I've said before, listen, if you decide Dayton Moore's got to go, J.J. Piccolo's got to go, Mike Matheny's got to go, and you spend all season pissing and moaning about how they got to go, and you're not enjoying the fact that they just went 6-2 against the White Sox and Red Sox, then you're missing the journey. And don't miss the journey. You've got a good young team that is fun to watch, is playing good baseball, and has a lot of ceiling left, and it's fun to think about what they can be. And that should be a major focus. Let's take a break. I want to talk to David Leske. He's going to join us from Inside the Crown, his great blog, where he writes about the Kansas City Royals. Curtis, once again, you are where?
I am at the ADA Autograph Show at the Harris North Kansas City Casino and Convention Center. Largest autograph show of the year kicks off today. 100 tables of sports cards and memorabilia. We'll have guests signing over the weekend, so come out and see me today. We're here till 9 o'clock tonight. I'll be here, of course, until 6, but come on up and see us and see what they got, and get ready for the big guests on Saturday and Sunday.
MJ Melendez, Ochai Agbaji, Mecole Hardman, Nick Bolton, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Ronald Jones, Brian Cook, Leo Chenal. Find out more at shopmostsports.com.
He's taken Larry King to a Prince concert. He's eaten Dairy Queen while watching a Duke game.
Certainly Duke is Duke.
He's seen the Princess Bride with his friend Earl.
Inconceivable.
Yeah, it's safe to say he's obsessed with the Royals. From inside the crowd, it's David Leske on the program.
Let's talk some Royals baseball with Leske. David Leske, I saw him last night. Oh, my God. Adam, did you see Leske? You talk about a guy tying one on. Good Lord. Were you one of the guys carrying him out?
We were just discussing. So Leske and I have no idea what the other looks like. And so it's very possible we passed each other and had no idea.
That is fantastic. That is fantastic. We're going to talk to our man David Leske here 1 second. First of all, Curtis Siebold up at the ADA Autograph Show. You can go see him. He is at Harris North Kansas City, Kansas City's largest autograph show of the year. All kinds of great folks going to be signing. You can buy, sell, or trade your sports memorabilia. JSA is there to authenticate. MJ Melendez, Ochai Agbaji, Mecole Hardman, Nick Bolton, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, Ronald Jones, Brian Cook, Leo Chenal, all going to be signing. Check the schedule, shopmostsports.com. So if you love you some sports memorabilia, get up there. Let's talk to David Leske. He's brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System. Did you take a spill on your way out of the building last night? Maybe not sure if that wrist is fractured. You know what I'm talking about, Justin Schultz. You know what I'm saying? If that's the case, the University of Kansas Health System has you covered. You can walk right in right now at 435 and all in Overland Park, diagonal from the Topgolf. Ages 5 and up, walk-in hours 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. Monday through Friday. Treating any orthopedic or sports injury, sprains, strains, fractures, dislocations, joint injuries. I talked to the Spikers last night. Mrs. Spiker had her walking boot on about 30 minutes. She was bragging last night about the University of Kansas Health System as we were chatting it up. She was in and out in about 30 minutes, found out, yes, she did indeed have a fracture in her foot. Where did she go? She went to the walk-in clinic of the University of Kansas Health System right there at 435 and all. Leske, my friend, have you recovered from last night yet?
You know, I didn't really have that much. So, yeah, it didn't take very long. I got home and I was fine.
Now, see, I was told you were carried out on a stretcher. That didn't happen?
No, it did. That's not very much. I mean.
We call that a Thursday. We're joking.
It was more like a Friday night for me, so like an extra 12 drinks. You
okay,
know?
Okay. Yeah, we're joking. David is not that type of guy. But it was great to see you last night, and a lot of fun had by everybody, and a lot of fun being had by Royals fans right now. 6 out of 8 against two clubs that were supposed to be contenders, are built to contend this year. They played 500-ish baseball most of the year. And, you know, it feels like I'm kind of asking this each week now for the last 3 or 4 weeks. Where are you at on your buying in meter right now with the Royals?
Well, you know, I'm getting closer. It's funny that everybody I talked to last night, it was like, hey, this is a lot more fun for you, isn't it? I was like, yeah, it's a little better to watch this team than it was to watch them a month ago. I think that there are certainly some a lot more things that need to get done before you can say this is a team that it's playoffs or bust. But what they've done with who they've done it with, I think it's really encouraging. If nothing else, they still need more pitching. Duh. You know, the bats, the young bats still need to get better because they're not, you can see what they could be, but they haven't done it yet. I mean, for the most part, they've been pretty good, but they haven't been great. It's not like you're looking at all 5 or 6 of these rookies that are in there on an almost daily basis and saying, yeah, this is the core of not only a playoff team, but a perennial World Series contending team just yet. No, not yet. But you can, you know, the phrase, you can squint to see it. It's more than squinting. You can see it. You can see the end you can see the finish line here as long as they do what needs to be done to supplement and improve, but they're getting there. They're getting closer.
Do you agree with me that this offseason they're going to either have a significant free agent signing or a significant trade, that they're at that point and that they will act on it?
I think so. It's hard to say 100% who will be in charge this winter, but I mean, we saw what they did when they thought they were almost there a decade ago. They went out and they made the James Shields trade, and I think that, you know, maybe it's not a trade. Maybe it is a free agent thing. Maybe they do give Carlos Rodon $130 million or whatever. I wouldn't count on it, but I think they are. I think they're going to go out and they're going to say, we are at that point where we are going to go get a player or two or three to fill in with the young players that we have. That's always kind of a scary moment, though. It's really fun. It's really fun for the front office and for the fan base and everything to see that. But every so often, those teams that do that end up like the 2022 Tigers. So you got to be a little careful. But I think that this is the winter they do it. They've got, by my calculations, they got plenty of money. About $32 million guaranteed for next year. I think it's 10 guys. If Chris Bubich is Super 2, I think it's 10 guys who are arbitration eligible. That's going to be, I think, max $40 million. And that's if they tender all of them, too. You know, if they want to go to $120 million, they've got a lot of money to spend. So they could do it. And I think there will be a splash or two this winter. Hopefully it works.
Yeah, that is, you got to make the right move, right? And everything's always subject to the potential for injury.
Sure.
You know, so it is kind of scary to think about, putting that kind of money. You mentioned Carlos Rodon, and that's a name we talked about yesterday with Jeff Passan, and he brought it up. Would that be where they would go? You know, I do think if that's where they end up going, it's kind of interesting because I don't think that was the plan. Right. I think the plan was to not have to spend on pitching, and if they were going to drop some money on free agency, to do it on a position player. And instead, they're finding themselves starting to look not bad at position players, particularly if MJ Melendez is going to stick in left field, Drew Waters the way he's playing in center. That leaves Oliveras and Isbell and Gentry, as you talked about last week, or maybe it was Sunday when you were on with me on our Kauffman Corner podcast. They got a few guys to mix into that outfield. That's kind of starting to come into picture. Again, if Melendez is going to be your left fielder, Massey and Witt Jr., I mean, if Lopez had played short, now we've filled out the whole infield. A couple of guys at first with Pascantino and Prado. I mean, is that enough, or do they need to go find a right field thumper bat or left field and move MJ Melendez to right field? Do they need to go try to find a big ticket bat to finish off this lineup?
Yeah, I think the answer right now, if the season ended and they had to make a decision, I think they would probably, if they're truly adding, I think they would probably say, we need a veteran bat in one of the corners. The nice thing is there's 49 games left. I think they can get a pretty good idea of what they have in that time to determine when the actual time comes, if they need to do that, because they very well could say, look, we think MJ Melendez can play corner outfield, and we feel good about a platoon of Isbell and Oliveras or whatever that might be. And we're not going to see Oliveras. I don't know if we'll see him again this year, but they should have that answer, I would think, by October 6th. The fifth, whatever the last day of the season is. And so my guess is they don't end up doing that. I think they do focus on pitching. They might look at a middle infielder or a third baseman, and determine what to do with Bobby Witt. But I think it's going to be a very pitching focus, as it should be. I mean, you look at the rotation. You feel good about Bobby Singer. I think you can definitively say, yeah, he's a starter on a contending club. Okay, who else, though? I mean, Chris Bubich, yeah, you feel good about him. I don't know for sure. Daniel Lynch, you feel good. I don't know for sure. Brad Keller, I think he's fine, but also one more year left. So even if you are counting on him, how does that work long term? So they need to fill that out with somebody. And I think my guess is when they get to the offseason, they look at this young core and they say, we feel okay about that without going to get another veteran bat beyond Salvi. To put in there. And so, yeah, I think the focus goes to the rotation on the bullpen.
Yep. All right, what do you expect in this series against the Dodgers?
I mean, it's going to be tough. What are they, 32-5 in their last 37 games? This is they score the most per game. They allow the fewest per game. Their number nine hitter was the MVP a couple of years ago. No, he's not playing well. But it's just an embarrassment of riches. But the nice thing, it kind of feels like a no-lose series for the Royals, because if they get swept, oh, well, they're young, they're learning. But if they win 2 out of 3, if they win 1 out of 3 and are competitive in all 3 games, I feel like that's the sort of thing to get people to notice them, not just in Kansas City.
Yeah.
I don't think that there can be a bad result in this series other than injury or just a laughingstock of a game or two. But they're not supposed to win. So if they don't win, they live up to expectations. If they do, I think people will probably be planning a parade, which is a little premature, but hey, let's have fun.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I think this is, the first time that maybe they get a little pressure too. Right,
yeah.
They're building some expectations. Maybe not. Maybe because it's the Dodgers, everyone's like, "Well, yeah, that was cute." But the White Sox and Red Sox aren't really that good, so we're kind of expecting the Dodgers, having won 10 in a row, to freight train this ball club. Yeah. So maybe there isn't. Maybe that's unfair to say that there's some pressure on it. But they come into it with a lot of confidence. I mean, do you worry that if the Dodgers would smack them down, take all three, two of them by big margins, that this would, pummel the psyche of the Royals?
Yeah, I think that's a fair question. I don't know. This team, they don't seem to get fazed by a whole lot because I think they know they're talented. I don't know if they know they're good, but I think they know they're talented. And, a guy like Vinny Pasquantino, to me, he had a really good series against the White Sox. He hasn't been great yet. He's shown what he can do in a lot of ways. But I feel like he is kind of like this guiding light in the clubhouse, which you don't expect from somebody who's been up for all of a month and a half. But he seems to be a very steadying presence. And I feel like he's the type of guy who's going to say, look, we have the Dodgers. Let's move on. Let's go to Minnesota and keep them out of first place. I just don't see that necessarily impacting them too much. Now, if they were to go to Detroit and get swept or something like that, I think that actually damages psyche. But I feel like I think to the Royals, they're kind of playing with house money themselves against the Dodgers, which you don't want to be in that position. You want to be in the position where the series matters. But I don't think it would impact them too much. Short of, the Blue Jays Red Sox game, 28-5. If that happens 3 times, yeah, they're gonna have some problems. But if they're even if they get smacked down a couple times, I don't think it'll be a huge deal for their side.
Do you what do you see in Chris Bubich? Because one of my frustrations is not frustrations, I guess one of the things I'm trying to get my arms around is I'm not sure what the plan is with him. I like him. I like him for 5 innings and as your number 5 starter. And maybe he'll push through that ceiling. But that's what I think he looks like right now. I get it if you say to me, hey, we want to see if he can go deeper. We want him to learn to go deeper. We want him, really what the next stage of his development is, learning to get guys out a third time through the order. Okay. I mean, if you think he's got that kind of ability, if you don't, then give him the weapon he needs to do it, the extra pitch or whatever it is. But if that's the plan, then leave him in there and let's go. But his last time out, the outs were even loud at the end, and to me, he looks like an 18-batter guy. Don't let anybody see him a third time, particularly not the top. If you want someone to see him a third time, then use an opener in front of the guy so that the third-time look is coming with, batters 7, 8, 9, and then maybe you can squeeze an extra inning out of the guy that way. But I don't see the guy who's going to be 7 innings and a middle-of-the-rotation guy. So I think get him out. If the goal is now start winning games – because that's the next part of the development is to learn to win, then Mike Matheny needs to learn to take Chris Bubich out faster.
Yeah, I mean, ultimately, I think that I still think this year they should not be doing that. I think that they should say, see if you can do it. Because I don't think it matters if they win a game this year. The first 54 games ensured that no win matters the rest of the season, which is terrible, but it's the reality. And I mean, I wrote about it yesterday, I think, that in his previous 4 starts past the second time through the order, Bubich allowed a 192 average, 276 on base, and 231 slugging percentage. So I'm curious to see if maybe he's figuring some things out about how to get through a lineup a third time. And he has three pitches that I think can all be very good at times. But then you're right, on Wednesday night, he struggled that third time through and almost cost the team the game. And, you know, the bats came alive and it didn't matter because they put it away late. But the problem with making anybody, I think, an 18-out guy or an 18-batter guy, 18-out would be great, is you can't have more than one of those guys, I don't feel like. Maybe two. But you have to manage for 162 games. And if you've got two or three or four guys who you're taking out after two times through the order almost every time, your bullpen's going to be toast by late July, early August. So I don't have a problem with determining if he can be that guy or if he is the number five who you take out no matter what. It's just they have to. I think they still have to figure that out the rest of the season because, like I said, four starts in a row, and there was four best starts in a row, but four starts in a row, he did fine that third time through the order, so maybe he's learning a way to do that. But also, again, I don't know what the Royals' plan is. Is it to develop these guys or is it to win games? Because you're right, if it's to win games, you got to pull earlier. But if it's to develop, leave him out there. Leave him out there until he gets to 110 pitches, no matter what, within reason, of course. But, you know, I think they have to still figure that out at this point with him.
Yeah. So you're not convinced one way or the other?
I mean, I lean toward he can't. A month ago, I was convinced, and then he started doing it. I'm like, well, if he's doing it, I'll see. Let's see if he can do it. I lean toward the fact that he can't. I'm still really curious why there was all that talk about his slider in spring training, and it looked good. And then he just shelved it. He hasn't thrown a single slider in the big leagues. That could be the pitch that helps him get through a third time. That's a fourth pitch. That's a different look. But he hasn't used it, so he can't count on it. But, yeah, I mean, I would say I'm 80% of the way convinced. And I was 98% of the way convinced before he actually did get through the third and even into a fourth time a few times in a row. But I'm in my opinion, I'm willing to say he's got, what, 9 or 10 left. Leave him out there. Let's see if he can do it. And then next year you go with the plan of what works best for him.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I do believe, do you agree that winning is part of the development process?
Oh,
right.
Sure.
So absolutely. I get that you want pitchers to go deeper and hey, we're going to take some lumps and this isn't a year that the Royals are going to the playoffs. So if you're going to lose some games in the name of development, now is clearly the time to do it. But I do think you have to learn to win. And
sure, it has to be a very clear message that, hey, this is not – we understand we might lose a game. It doesn't mean losing is okay. But we're if we lose a game today to win a game next year, that's what's most important. But, I don't know if that's the message.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt. I don't know that it is, although that's where you start to get into sensitive ground, too, for me, is are you trying to serve two masters?
Right.
Are we trying to push Chris Bubich but also trying to learn to win? You know, that's a difficult needle to thread. I think you got to sell out for whichever it is, you know, you think it is your main approach, is your main target.
Oh, definitely.
For what's going on. But I do, again, I don't think you can just be like, we don't care about results. It's all about development. And so we'll let guys, you know, we're not going to pinch hit for guys late. You know, the old where we had a lot of nights sitting there hitting up Ned Yost about why did you let Escobar bat in the ninth? And watching him get pissed about, because we're going to win a championship and we're going to need that guy to come through with a big at bat. And he ended up being a prophet. That's all great. But, like, I also think some of that is why it took so long for that team to finally turn the corner. Right? Is because it was always about development and the learning to win part wasn't there. It's a balancing act. Baseball's hard. Right? Ask anybody who's tried to hit a baseball. Ask any pitcher who's tried to get big leaguers out. Baseball's hard. I get it. I'm not belittling it, and I understand that a lot of, you know, what you're asking a front office to do is thread a needle, but you're paid handsomely to thread that needle. So, you know, that's what they're being asked to do. But I do think we're coming to a time where the winning part has got to take center stage. And I also think, look, I get the the idea of building it back for the long haul, because I think it's easier and you expedite the development of a player who comes up and is on a team that's playing games that matter. Right?
Oh,
I'll always remember Angel Barroa kicking the ball around that the rookie year that he went on to win Rookie of the Year, and the fans just unloading on him. It was like his 20th air, and it was like in May or something. And from that point on, like he got it. He got all kinds of questions about it, about the fans being on him, and that seemed to be the wake-up call. And that year the Royals were playing competitive baseball, and I think it helped expedite his development. Now, of course, he regressed and didn't end up being a great player. But I do think fans being out at a ball game with expectations and players taking the field under those conditions expedites their development process.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at the Cardinals, for example. They always bring somebody up, and people hate to hear this, but they bring these guys up, and everybody's going, how do they always have these rookies, unheralded rookies, come up and play well? Because they're playing when it matters. I mean, that helps quite – it also helps that they're not coming up and hitting third right away. They come up and hit eighth, whatever. But they come up because the games matter, and the fans care, and, you know, it's not we're playing out the string in mid-June. It's important games. Good teams have prospects come up that aren't prospects and play like big-time prospects. That's what happens, and you know, they need to get to that point.
Yeah, no doubt. We're talking to David Leske from Inside the Crown about the Kansas City Royals. Time for our Final Four. It's brought to you by the University of Kansas Health System. If you have an urgent orthopedic injury or orthopedic or sports injury, the University of Kansas Health System can see you quickly. You know, they're the same experts that are the healthcare providers for your Kansas City Royals. Learn more right now at kansashealthsystem.com/sportsmedicine. David, I will start with this one. We had dogs doing tricks last night. Can you train a dog?
Well, so I have two dogs, and they both can sit. One of them will do anything you tell him. Roll over, lay down, high fives, fist bumps, shakes. He does it all. The other one stares at you. So my answer is sometimes.
Sometimes. I like that.
They're litter mates. They are this. I mean, they're brothers, and we paint them the exact same way, and one does it, and one just refuses.
You know what we call that? Operator error, bad training.
That's really was.
Yeah, that's on you.
No, it was good training on one and bad training on the other.
Okay, the Royals' home run leader will be who? As right now, the leaderboard goes: Salvi Perez at 16, Bobby Witt at 15, MJ Melendez at 14. Hunter Dozier at 10, Vinny Pascantino closing quickly at 6.
It's hard to go against Salvi because you know he's going to have a crazy 10 days where he hits 6 home runs or something and pulls out. So I'm going to say him, but I really want to say MJ because that power is just so easy. It's silly sometimes. And look, Pascantino, he's too far behind, I think. But Pascantino's home run yesterday off Dylan Cease.
Mm-hmm.
How did he do – how? That is the first home run. That's the first extra base hit Dylan Cease has allowed on a 2-strike slider all year. And he just kind of stuck his bat out, and it went 390-something feet. I think it's Salvi.
Yeah, I've mentioned Dylan Cease is nasty. He's got great stuff. And think about how bad you got to be at fantasy baseball to have Dylan Cease on your team and be in ninth place.
Is that you?
Yeah, that's me. I nailed it on Dylan Cease. I crapped in a hat on every other move I made in the American League.
But you've got Dylan Cease.
I do. I do have Dylan Cease. Yes, I do have Dylan Cease. The Royals make a free agent signing this year. It's at what position?
Starting pitcher. I that's where they're going to have to go.
Well, okay. You know, no big bat, huh?
No, I mean, I think they're going to try. I think they're going to be in on some shortstops. That's just my hunch, just partially because there's the third base market is terrible. I mean, the best bet it might be Max Muncy if the Dodgers don't pick up his option. But there's some shortstops out there. So I think they'll try. I think they'll succeed. And so I think they're going to have a starting pitcher.
You do a phenomenal job on your Inside the Crown blog. I know you are always knee deep in Royals, but David Leske, would you say that you are right now ready for some football?
I kind of am, although I'm really concerned if they're actually going to play starters tomorrow on that field. That scares me. I mean, It's ugly, but yeah, I'm ready. I'm ready to watch some football.
That's right. That's right. There it is. Correct answer. David, you're the man. Always appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for the time. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds good. Thanks, Ren.
All right. David Lesky is great column. It's Inside the Crown. Great work up there. If you check it out, insidethecrown.com, you can see all the work he's done. It's not only high quality, but high quantity as well. So if you love you some Royals baseball, check out his great blog at Inside the Crown. David, brought to you by our friends at the University of Kansas Health System. I told you, you can walk right in right now. If you took a spill, if you, weekend athlete, whatever it is, something's barking at you, don't wait around. Don't feel like you got to wait weeks or months to get in to see a doctor. You can walk right in and see the same experts that care for the Royals at the University of Kansas Health System Walk-In Clinic at 435 and all. Ages 5 and up, 8 a.m., 7 p.m., between 8 a.m. and 7 p.m., Monday through Friday. That's where you can go. Find out if you've got a sprain, a strain, a fracture, a dislocation, any kind of joint injury. Get the answer you need right now fast at the University of Kansas Health System. All right, wrapping up this hour, our buddy Curtis Siebold on the road, the ADA Autograph Show. Curtis, you were checking out some of the great items. What are we looking at? What are some of your highlights?
One of the highlights I'm going to save for Danny because I think he would really love it. There's a baseball signed Babe Ruth and Lou Gehrig.
Wow.
That's going to take – that's something special. And
$45, $50
I would think at least, yeah.
More?
My favorite thing I've seen 60? Is back in the corner, one of the corners, Dallas Cowboys, Pittsburgh Steelers helmets. It's the helmets like they wore back in Super Bowl X, autographed by Staubach, autographed by Terry Bradshaw, has the old-style face masks on them, the red and white stripes over the top, which the Cowboys wore then. That's pretty sweet. That jumped out at me being a history buff, but I'm going to post some pictures on Twitter. You don't want to miss this place.
No, it's great. Going on all weekend long. Danny Klinkscale coming up next.
All right, how many consecutive preseason games have the Baltimore Ravens won? Brought to you by Good Sense.